You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Wildfires tearing through California wine country have flared up again, destroying hundreds more buildings and leading to new evacuation orders. Authorities raised the death toll to 21 and warned that the number would rise. At least 3,500 homes and businesses have been destroyed since the wildfires started Sunday, making them the third deadliest and most destructive blazes in state history. CAL FIRE is looking into whether reports of power lines falling down and electrical transformers exploding may have led to the disaster. The East Bay Times carried a story about PG&E's potential culpability. It was written by Paul Rogers, science editor at KQED, an environment writer at the San Jose Mercury News. He spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney.
So tell me about this article in the East Bay Times. What did you find?
Well, we analyzed the dispatch records from Sonoma County on Sunday night when the fire began, and the first report came in around 9:22 p.m. around Santa Rosa. And what we found is over the next 90 minutes, emergency crews were dispatched to respond to at least 10 locations where there were downed arcing power lines and exploding transformers.
And so this is something that PG&E has had an issue with in the past. You go on to talk about in that story, and high winds can obviously topple power lines.
Yeah, this is a fairly common way that fires start in California. PG&E has had problems over the years and has been found liable because they didn't maintain their power lines properly. They've been the cause of other fires around the state. So have other big utilities in San Diego and elsewhere. The most recent one was in 2015. PG&E was found to have caused the Butte Fire up in Amador County, which burned more than 70,000 acres, burned more than 500 homes, and killed two people. They were fined $8.3 million by the PUC in that case. They were sent a bill for $90 million from CAL FIRE to respond, you know, to cover the costs of fighting that fire. And there are more than 1,000 lawsuits, as I recall, still pending, seeking hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in damages.
What is the resolution that ends up coming out of these cases? Has PG&E paid off a lot of fines? Have they changed their practices?
Yeah, usually what happens in a case like this is the utility, after the investigation is done, the utility will argue that it wasn't entirely their fault or there were other conditions or acts of God because it was really windy. And they may not have to pay 100% of all the costs, either through a court proceeding or through a penalty from the PUC. They may be found to be partially responsible, for example. And, you know, basically there are state laws that set limits for utilities. They have to cut trees back in certain distances from power lines. The stronger the voltage is, the further away you have to go from the line. And it's unclear here, and we really have to be careful on this. The fire investigators have not yet in these fires settled on the cause of the fire, but this is one of the things they're certainly looking at.
CAL FIRE has said that they think that PG&E power lines might have caused it at this point. Do you know how long an investigation like this takes in order to find real culpability?
The length of investigations varies, but it could certainly take months before they find out because, you know, they on something where hundreds of millions of dollars are at stake, where many people have died, the fire investigators from CAL FIRE want to get it right. And if it looks like the utility was to blame in some part, or this is how it started, then the PUC also will open an investigation. But, you know, what we found in our reporting yesterday was that already people who have been attorneys in other cases involving power lines that caused fires are already being contacted by property owners and victims of these fires.
And final question. Obviously, there are power lines all over the Bay Area, particularly in heavily populated areas. Is there anything that people can do or should do to watch out for potential problems? Because obviously, we have to have a lot of trust in the power companies that are maintaining these lines.
Yeah, what's difficult here is that there are more than 100,000 miles of power lines in PG&E's service area, which runs from Oregon to Bakersfield. And so, you know, it's a very difficult job. But if you're concerned and you see a tree on your street that's up into the power lines or branches leaning over the power lines, something like that, you should certainly call PG&E. You should let them know about it. You should ask them to come deal with it, you know, almost like if you would smell gas or have a concern about a gas line in your neighborhood, because both can be very dangerous. You know, and in terms of the investigation, I think when you look at the possible causes of a fire like this that happened in the middle of the night, with about 10 fires all starting at the same time in the same general location, logically, there are only a few things that could have caused that. One would be lightning. There's no evidence that there were a lot of lightning strikes that night. The second one would be arson. That's still certainly a possibility. And the third would be high winds that knock down power lines. And as PG&E has already said, there were very high winds there, in some places up to 75 miles an hour. And those winds did affect some of their lines. The question now is, specifically, what happened, when, where did the fire start precisely, and did PG&E follow the rules in maintaining those lines?